report was accepted by PDOT, or excuse me, BES on April 2nd. And I have a letter, if you haven't seen it, from BES saying that we meet their design criteria. With PDOT, safety is an issue. We talked about it. Our first meeting was in October of 2006, and I met with Bob Haley and Kurt Kruger, and Kurt's first comment was, if we could open up this corner and enhance the sight lines, it would be a much better situation. We didn't own the north property at that time. We since purchased it, and we've taken care of that issue. Sight lines will be addressed very, very specifically in our development. We would like, in the appeals, the appellant says that we're building sidewalks from nowhere to nowhere. And we feel that even if we go to the bridge, that we still have sidewalks from nowhere to nowhere. And we feel that the elements involved with the basalt wall have a very historic significance to this neighborhood, to the city, and even the country because of the WPA project. In meeting with BES, starting in January, we had several meetings and some very intense exchange between our engineer and Eric Beneke of BES. We actually had to have three major revisions to our report before they finally would accept it. And that was accepted on April 2nd. And as far as the appeal items, 14 items on the appeal, and nine of them relate to transportation, four of them to stormwater management, and one to an adjustment. Regarding the adjustment, at the public hearing, I told the hearings officer that if 65 was a reasonable number, we could probably live with it, but we prefer to have 75, as he stated in his decision. We'd hate to have to not have enough trees, removal rights to stop construction if we find something needs to be removed. Our intent is that we don't remove any trees that don't have to be removed, and hopefully that's not 65. I don't know what that exact number is. As far as traffic issues, basically, it comes down to sight lines and providing a sidewalk for the full extent of the property. We feel there is merit in maintaining that retaining wall and that people probably won't be coming to school, but listening to Commissioner Leonard, it's got a point. We will put the sidewalk in, and we're not fighting having to put it in. We just thought it was a reasonable spot to stop the sidewalks at the time when we were doing our development and still respect the dignity and the heritage of that development around the bridge. And as far as the Pleasant Valley Neighborhood Association policies 2 and 7 of not creating appropriate connections for pedestrian bicycles or teaching by example. If we go to the end of our property, we're not sure that that's going to be any different than if we stopped it right where we proposed. Our sight lines will be in excess of the minimums submitted or noted in the traffic study. We have at the north driveway, to the north, we have approximately 225 feet going uphill for a clear sight distance. The at the other areas, at the south end, our south driveway access, we're proposing will give approximately 250 feet going downhill, 350 feet going uphill. And the north driveway, I said, we'll have 225 coming up and probably around 230 going downhill when we finish. These are issues we'll work out with PDOT. The The appellant states that we have no estimate for special event parking. These items are all identified in the conditional use application, page 8, under special events. We clearly state the overflow parking will be shuttled off to an off-site parking lot to at an adjacent school. And we have not sidestepped the public process as noted in the appeal. Also, approval condition item C in the hearings officer report says that we must provide a more detailed transportation demand management plan as a condition of getting the building permit. The appellant state sight lines exhibits were not submitted. They are not required in the conditional use. They are required by the hearings officer, item D, as a condition of getting the building permit, and we plan on doing that. In traffic issues, the appellant states traffic report does not represent the true accident history of the area. The report is based on available data, and since that time, our traffic engineer has found two reports of accidents that have occurred basically at the southeast corner of our site. One is a one-car accident that happened on this is in a four-year period between January 1st, 2002 and December 31st, 2005. Both occurred southeast west corner, and there were no injuries. One on March 10th, 2002, was a single car accident that hit a fixed object while heading north. And on December 11th, 2005, two cars sideswiped each other at the same location. According to our traffic engineer, two reported accidents in a four-year period does not indicate a dangerous condition. The 300-foot intersection sight distance line is not a stopping distance. The recommended distance of 170 feet is on level ground. We revised our stopping distances for uphill and downhill from 170 feet to 160 feet going uphill and 190 feet going downhill. And I have two memos from our traffic engineer to submit as evidence. We didn't need to do a circulation plan. It was not a part of the criteria. The no parking signs are a part of the parking or the permit process. And as far as the issues of stormwater management, our revised report does detain water. We have one pipe that contains 10,500 cubic feet. They're all in the calculations. We meet the criteria that was mentioned by Linda Bauer about allowing half the flow of water under a two-year event. We meet all the criteria presented to us by BES, and I just don't believe that they've had a copy of that report to look at, and I'm not sure why. In recapping, we believe that the conceptual design approved by the hearings officer meets the development criteria of the City of Portland, the safety concerns of the neighborhood, and respects the cultural heritage of the neighborhood, the city, and the nation.
Thank you. Questions for the applicant?
Mr. Rommel. As I'm sure you're aware, in another forum, this council has unanimously agreed to take a historic action on this project.
Yes.
And to support the construction with a $19 million investment. So we have obviously a commitment and want to do this right. And so what I'm going to ask you isn't, I'm not implying that you should shoulder the burden, but I do want to clarify that the issue of the sidewalks or safe spaces, however one wants to identify that, because I'm not necessarily talking just about sidewalks, as I was describing earlier, as you were hearing on the north side of Johnson Creek, north side of the bridge, there's that space that runs along where Johnson Creek is that is gravel, which I think is fine for a safe space. But I just want to clarify that you would not be opposed the construction and or identification of safe spaces north of the site to the area up on top of 134th and then south of the site to Flavelle, even if it meant into the existing.
Considering the source of funding, I would say not.
That was a great answer.
That was a good
very
answer.
Wise answer.
I mean, the school district safety is, I mean, yeah. They want safe situations. And whatever we have to do, I mean, we felt that we didn't look at it from off-site development like you're talking about. We were looking at it being responsible for what's in front of our piece of property when we submitted our application. And things change.
But we obviously are viewing this as a bigger project than just a school. We're viewing this as a community kind of structure. And I think in terms of the existing somewhat historic block retaining wall, I guess I'm not understanding why we couldn't cut into the hillside to create the space for a sidewalk and have a traditional concrete retaining wall and then reuse those blocks over the concrete retaining wall for aesthetic purposes to restore the original.
If you're talking sidewalk, we could. But our understanding is that we would have to take the drainage swale, which is 7 feet wide, the sidewalk or the bike path, which is 6 feet wide, and the sidewalk, which is 6 feet wide, put them all in down to the bridge. And if we did that, we're going, that's 19 feet to the back side of the sidewalk.
Well, I don't want to sit here and engineer that.
We put in a sidewalk, we can work that out.
I just wanted to be general enough so that what Bob and I were discussing when he was up there, it gives him the flexibility to do that, whatever that is.
Right. I mean, it depends on the width of the sidewalk and how far we go, but certainly it is an issue or an option that we can look at of how we deal with that, and we would try and make it look like it belonged.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Rommel, Linda Bauer testified that the hearings officer did reduce it from 75 trees to 65. I didn't get from listening to you if that was a conclusion he reached or if that was just something you folks recommended and there was no action taken on it.
It was part of a discussion. We did not ask him to reduce the number.
And neither did he say that verbally?
He did not say that verbally, that I remember.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
We now have time for persons who oppose the appeal. Are there any folks here who oppose the appeal?
No one signed up.
Okay. Then the rebuttal by the applicant.
Again, my name is Dan Simmons. First, I'm going to address the testimony of Eric Brennecke from BES. My understanding of his testimony was that all the drainage terminated at the ditch in southeast Deerdorf. There is a portion of the site called Drainage Basin 3, which is on your drawing 14. Excuse me, drawing 15, that actually discharges directly to grade and will spill over the E zone, and that's, in my opinion, a violation of the environmental regulations. regarding the curve numbers, my assumption when picking a curve number of 70 versus 74 was simply that in Lewis and Clark days, if there's dense woods all around this site, that probably in Lewis and Clark days that site was also densely wooded. It's simple as that. On the restriction for the two-year storm, restricting the, according to the Stormwater Management Manual, restricting the two-year post-development rate of discharge to half of the pre-development rate of discharge is clearly in the books. And I do have the latest copy of the drainage report. It is dated April 2nd, 2008. And I'd like to submit to the clerk a paperclip on the two pages in the front that summarize what the existing condition runoff rates are for the two-year event and the developed condition runoff rates for the two-year event. And in my opinion, they look pretty much the same and that these haven't been factored down by half. And I think it won't take an engineer to figure that part out once you take a peek at the two pages here. So if I can hand this up. As you know, the preliminary plans, the conceptual plans, it's a process. It's a process of evolution and iteration and trial and error, and there's a ways to go, and I think everybody understands that and appreciates that. The concepts aren't done. My concern is that when you prepare preliminary conceptual plans and they become part of the decision, they become part of public record, and you publish conditions of approval that are attached to those conceptual plans, that really sets the course for the final design. I know because this is what I do for a living. They're going to go back to those conceptual plans, and they're going to go back to the conditions of approval, and that's going to guide the remainder of the final design. And it sounds, and I appreciate the fact that city staff is flexible to work out some of these issues, but in my mind, when you set the course, it's really hard to turn it around once an approval has been granted. My recommendation is the pedestrian connection goes actually a little south of Flavelle and at least to the bridge. And I appreciate Commissioner Leonard's desire to get that safe zone all the way up to 134th, because once you get to 134th, you've got good vision, you've got wide shoulders, and you can navigate that on foot or bicycle without too much danger. The reason I say we need to go past Flavelle is because if you go just to Flavelle, you're still dealing with a sight distance issue on that tight curve that's immediately north of Flavelle. There's a couple of relatively new homes on the east side of Deerdorf that run south of Flavelle. I would imagine that there's waivers of remonstrance there that would allow the city to develop sidewalks on those frontages. And I think that's necessary in order to get that south sidewalk terminus far enough south so that you've got good sight distances from the intersection to the south or to the north and the next set of curves to the south. I think that going to at least the bridge is necessary. Yeah, it's going to get into some of the work progress administration's rock work. It's beautiful stuff. I live there and I love it. I want to point out condition H.2 in the conditions of approval that does state that it will be necessary under that particular drainage option to reconstruct some of that wall. So I anticipate that if this wall gets disturbed because of sidewalk construction or drainage improvements, that it will get reconstructed with that same stone. That is a condition of approval. This part of this stone wall that Terry Rommel showed you will be disturbed to accommodate these improvements, and the condition states that it'll be reconstructed. I agree that kids are going to walk and bike and go to school here and have a lot of fun. It's a LEED certified building in the middle of a P zone. It's a prime opportunity to promote walking and biking. The recommended stopping distance, in my opinion, is 250 feet. I really think the 300 feet recommended for the intersections I think are going to work out. It's the stopping distance. It's the sight distance at the sidewalk terminuses that I'm very concerned about. And I'm out of time. I do appreciate
take
your...
Take what time you need to finish.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. I've only got a couple more points. I do believe because of the sidewalk improvements that are going to be above the wall that would require the removal and reconstruction of the stone wall, or the drainage improvements are going to be required to go through there, there's going to be some grading, and like Terry said, it's going to set that wall back a ways, and there's going to be some additional trees lost. And I live amongst the trees in an environmental zone not far from the site. but when it comes to trees versus safety of pedestrians and kids, I've got to vote for the safety. And I think there's some grading on the north driveway that's going to bury a few trunks and probably kill those trees off in a matter of time. And that might be why the hearings officer granted additional trees in the approval. And I have to support that additional number of trees. But what I can't support is the mitigation rate of less than 2-1. I really think 3-1 is much more appropriate for an environmental zone. I think that's all I have today. Again, I appreciate your time. It's a tough project, and it's a tough decision, and I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, quite honestly. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have council deliberation, discussion, and a decision. I think this is worthy of a follow-up question, and this has to do with the how the water will drain, or the storm water, and the law behind that. Mr. Simon said that that the law states that it has to be half of what it was prior to the development. occurring. And it doesn't look as if that meets that criteria. I just wonder if someone wants to comment on that. Maybe we're not reading it correctly. And this is the report prepared for Rommel Architectural by WH Pacific. Are you aware of what page we're referring to, what we're talking about? Page 3. Existing condition hydrology.
That table does indicate the existing conditions of the analysis for all storm events at 2, 5, 10, 25, and 100.
And then the following page, on page 4, it shows the proposed conditions.
Correct, for basins, and the question is for basin 2, which is the main basin in question. They are the same in this graph. However, the intent is to have the post 2-year matched half of the existing. They have provided the analysis in the report. However, it's not reflected in this graph. So
there's a more recent document that is more accurate.
It should be this report. What we can do is I'll have to go back in the report and research, take a look at it, but.
Hi,
Simons, is this your copy?
Yes. Okay, I'm Brady Berry with WH Pacific, author of the report.
Yes.
And on page 5 of the same report, we indicated that we looked at the volumes based off of the 25-year event as our basis of volumes with a commitment to provide detention. And then further on, we said that in the final analysis of the document, we will limit the 2-year 24 post-development rate to the pre-development erosion initiated rate, one half of the 2-year. So our analysis in the final permit drawings will conduct that full look at all the different storms and provide the detention necessary to make the system work.
So that means you'll reduce the stormwater runoff?
Yes.
And how do you propose to do that?
We have right now, there's three different methods of detention that we're using. We're using the swales on site that we're using for conveyance. We're using underground piping. We're using flow-through planters. And what we'll do is right now, like Terry mentioned, we've got, some like 25,000 cubic feet of underground storage. And if necessary, we'll increase that storage to provide for that half of the 2-year.
Further questions? Thank you. So we have three choices as the council: deny the appeal, deny the appeal but ask for new information to be considered, or ask for amendment language. We grant the appeal.
Mayor Potter?
Yes.
I move to deny the appeal and uphold the hearings officer's decision with the following conditions: that sidewalks and/or safe walking sanctuaries will be constructed and/or identified north from the site to the top of the hill on Southeast 134th. On the north side of Johnson Creek and south from the site to Southeast Flavelle. And I've got this in writing for the city attorney. So.
Would you accept just one friendly amendment?
Yes.
So there isn't a double entendre on the word identified, is it designated?
Sure.
So that
instead of identified? Yeah.
Because it could be read.
Yeah.
So you're proposing to go with the hearings officer's decision, the conditions the hearings officer imposed, and your one additional condition?
Yes. I actually wrote it as two conditions, but one.
All right. I'm sorry. I heard it as one, but
either
one or two conditions,
actually,
whichever it turns out to be.
I broke it up to north of the site and south of the site to two different conditions so that the intent be reflected. The intent is that the conversation that we had earlier be reflected in what's finally approved and what appeared to be agreed to by David Douglas.
Okay. Okay, further discussion? Call the vote.
Adams.
Well, I really appreciate your testimony and your work. Very thorough, and appreciate that. Thank you for addressing some of our final concerns around pedestrian access and safety, and good work on your part. Aye.
Leonard.
Thank you. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. We're adjourned until next week.
Thank you, Tom. Yes.